The Old Testament reading for LWML Sunday is from Isaiah chapter 2. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the later days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle readings from 1 Peter chapter 2. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, it's a delight to be here. It's an honor and it's a privilege. Of course, I'm related to the Kriegers, the niece and nephew of your former pastor, Pastor Krieger. Or I'm the nephew. They're my aunt and uncle. So it's really a pleasure and a delight to be here to preach to you. And thank you to Diane and to Pastor Zellers for the opportunity to come here and share about New Hope, especially in the hour after church. But now it's my special privilege to share that mission message that LWML wants to share with the world. And if you go to the website, you'll see it. It's what we're talking about today. It's what Psalm 24 talks about. It's what that hymn we just sang talks about. The King is coming. To some extent, it's the message that's proclaimed from this pulpit every single Sunday. It's the message that we are reminded of ourselves, but that every single one of you is to share according to your vocation, according to your place in life. The King is coming. And that really means two things, is coming. And what do you think of? The first thing I think of when I hear that the King is coming is that he's going to come, right? He's on his way back, and that's absolutely true, because the King will come back. There'll be the sound of the trumpet, and the dead shall be raised. But the king is coming also means that he's coming right now. And in a context where I am, where there's little to no conservative Lutherans at all, I can tell you that this is unique about us, okay? That we believe that God's actually here. Actually here, proclaimed in his word. When I say the king is coming, I am saying the king is in your presence. That he is here. And I mean, imagine how wonderful, incredible a thing is the sacrament of the altar. That the king himself is here according to his body and his blood. God on the altar, God in your hands, God in your mouth, God in you. The King of glory. That is a message to proclaim. It is something beautiful to share. But what do you imagine when you see the King of glory? When you think of the King of glory coming, what do you see? How do you think of Jesus? Now think of a painting of Jesus, and what's the first thing that comes to mind? Maybe it's that kind of portrait of Jesus, kind of from the side profile that, you know, most pastors have hanging in their offices or that are on church walls. One that I think of immediately is Jesus the Good Shepherd, right? He went out to, you know, go get the lost lamb from the parable of the lost sheep, and he has the sheep over his shoulders. You've seen that one, right? Christ, the tender one. Christ, the mild one, the gentle, gently leading his flock by still waters and green pastures. And that's absolutely true. Psalm 24, however, talks about another side of Jesus. Not one that conflicts, but one that fills out to show the fullness of who Jesus is. Because, yes, he is gentle. He is mild. But what does Psalm 24 say? He's the King of glory. He's the Lord strong and mighty. He's the Lord mighty in battle. What does that mean, to be mighty in battle? Well, it doesn't mean gently leading. It means crushing the enemy. It means destroying those who are opposed to you. Because that last day that we're looking forward to so much, when our king comes back and saves all of those who are eagerly waiting for, is also going to be a great day of, what's it called? The day of judgment. It's going to be a great day of wrath. Revelation points, illustrates our coming king as a king riding on a steed, and he has a cloak dipped in blood. That's probably not what you first think of when you think of Jesus, right? But it is Jesus. There is no Jesus besides this one. And we've got a, and this is also just a clear, clear message, okay? You're either with Jesus or you ain't, right? You're either under his mercy or you are completely sold under his wrath and doomed to destruction, okay? There's no, like, middle ground where you're like, oh, yeah, I'm kind of a Christian. Things will probably be okay on the last day. Yeah, I mean, I hear some chuckling, and I'm glad, because that perspective, which is permeates our society, is very typical to find, sadly, in Christian churches, is comical. It's laughable because it's so absurd. So, Jesus, the King of glory, is the Lord strong and mighty, Lord mighty in battle. So his coming is not just one of joy, but it's also one of absolute terror for the entire unbelieving world. And it should make us afraid too. Now, I don't mean that we should be scared of Jesus, like, oh, what's he going to do to me? No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is you should fear him. What do I mean by that? I mean, you all know what the fear of God is. But think of it this way. Say you're going on 380 in Cedar Rapids, And what did they install a couple years back? All those speed cameras. And you're going, and your GPS says, speed camera ahead, and what do? You immediately slow down because you were going 5 miles an hour over, right? Or when you're going down the road and you see the police officer, say you're going 5 miles an hour, you immediately, you don't even think about it, you go, whoop, your heart leaps a little bit, and then you back off and come, and you don't just go to the speed limit, you go like 1 or 2 miles an hour under the speed limit. Because you gotta be real. Why? Because you know you are doing something wrong. You know that you are now in the presence of someone who knows what the rules are, who's able to see that you are doing the wrong thing, and has the power and the authority to punish you for it. We get it when we see an officer. Why don't we get it when we're in the presence of God Almighty? But you know what I'm talking about. When you come into the presence of God, there is a part of every one of us that should be like that first moment that you see the officer, which is, there should be a little part of us that does that. And what is it? It's the sinner in us. It's the old Adam that in the presence of God says, uh-oh, I know the ways that I've sinned. I know the ways that I've failed to meet the law's demands. And now I'm in the presence of someone who knows me better than I know myself and who knows the law and has the authority to punish me. Jesus is our good shepherd. He's our gentle shepherd. He went out and got every one of you as lost lambs and brought him into his flock, and he gently leads and guides you. He's also the judge of the universe. He is holy and he is righteous, and judgment has been given to him by his Father, as the evangelist John says. But this hymn, lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, it's not a scared hymn. It's not a hymn of fear, but it's a hymn of joy. It's a hymn of celebration. So how could it be that you and I could sing, lift up your heads, and this joyful song, when this holy and righteous King has come among us sinners? Well, there's two reasons I'll give you that the King coming to you is a joyful time for celebration and comfort and security. The first is this. We're going to go back to the illustration with the police officer in Cedar Rapids, okay? Say you're going, you're walking in a dark alley downtown Cedar Rapids in the middle of the night. And you get jumped by some thug, okay? Now, this thug is way bigger than you, way stronger than you. He's armed, and you're helpless. You're immediately subdued, and you're at his mercy. That's terrifying. You're completely helpless. But then the sirens come, and the police officer pulls up on the curb, and he sees what's going on, and you think, oh, I'm saved. The door opens from the cruiser, and out jumps this 4.5-foot skin and bones police officer. And he's only armed with a flashlight. Come on, man. That's not going to save you. What kind of police officer do you want if you're in that situation? You want the door to open, and you want this lumbering, 6'5" bodybuilder hulk of a police officer to come out. You want him loaded to the teeth with weaponry, right? You want a guy who is so powerful that he can grab this thug by the nape of his neck and throw him across the street and save you. And that is the first reason why this fearful, almighty God and his coming is a joyful thing, because he has come to grab Satan by the nape of his neck and throw him across the road, because although we are helpless before Satan, Satan is helpless before Jesus. He's pathetic compared to Jesus. Jesus can do whatever he wants with Satan, and Satan can't say a word about it. Consider your enemies. Satan, not just flesh and blood, although it does include flesh and blood, but the enemies according to the faith, the powers that are at work more and more clearly every day in this world, that are arrayed against the coming King, the coming Messiah, that are arrayed against the church and therefore arrayed against you. Jesus, when he comes, as he is coming, and he is coming even now in these words that I'm speaking, he is casting out Satan, casting out the demons, and throwing all of your enemies of the faith underneath your feet and subduing them. This almighty king that fills us with fear fills us with just as much joy because we know that he is using all of that almighty power to defeat our enemies and to save us from all the hand of all who would harm us, all who would persecute us. And there's a second reason why the king's coming is really a hymn of celebration for us, Psalm 24. How do you know that this coming king is going to be pleased with you and not wrathful with you? How do you know that? Because if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we have to look at the unbelieving world and realize that to some extent we're no better than they are. That there's no special thing about you and me that we got right so that we're saved and that we're believers and they're unbelievers and outside of God's grace. So how do you know that this King of Glory, his coming is not going to be a moment of wrath for you, but a moment of joy, of celebration, of salvation from your enemies? You have a pledge and a token. You have a promise that this king has laid down for you to assure you of his love and of his protection. As Philippians chapter 2 says, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but took upon himself the form of a servant, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. How do you know that this king is here for your salvation and for the salvation of all who truly believe in him? Because he laid aside the glory for you. He emptied himself and he gave his last breath for you, all of his breath. He gave the blood in his veins for you so that your sins could be wiped clean, so that when he comes, it is not a moment of wrath. But when he comes, God does not see somebody who sinned in this way or that way. He sees a spotless lamb. When our Father looks at you, when Jesus sees you, he sees a chosen priesthood, a chosen nation, a royal priesthood. He sees his own people, whom he has purchased with his own blood. So yes, the coming king is the king is coming. That's the message that we're proclaiming today. It's the message that the LWML wants to remind us of today, wants to push out to the world, and is doing such a wonderful job doing that by God's grace. Thanks be to God. And today we remember that the coming king is a warrior. He is strong. He is mighty in battle. It's a terror to the world and a fear for us. But more than that, this text from Psalm 24 encourages you. It says, lift up your heads. Lift up your heads. The King of Glory is coming for your salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen.